It is the Brotherly Love Podcast. It's been a hot minute, but we thank you for tuning in. With John Mita, I am Joe O'Donnell. We got a lot to get into. Johnny Mita, how the hell are you?
Doing well, buddy. The magic is back at Citizens Bank Park, baby.
All right. Okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I saw the red rally towels last night. Time
Places.
Of this recording is, was going bonkers. So I'll just finish that sentence for you.
Yeah.
Time of this recording is just prior to game two. The Phillies and the Marlins. Boy, that's a habit.
Speak of the Wild.
Phillies and Marlins in the wild card. Phillies with a 1-0 series lead, 4-1 win last night. We'll start there, and then we got to talk about this football team that last time we left you was 1-0, getting ready for a Thursday night game. We now know they're 4-0, but it's the most frustrating team I've ever seen. So we'll get there in a second. Sixers started practicing in China or wherever. We don't care about them. So, anyway, what do you got for me, Johnny Mita? Let's talk Phils. Let's start with the win last night. It was a little maddening early, the fact they didn't get any first inning runs, but otherwise they played a pretty clean game. Zach Wheeler was just dominant, ace-like stuff. They played a little bit of small ball, stole some bags, and eventually they overcame their, half-drunk third base coach.
Yeah. Dusty. Bad night for old Dusty, man.
Dude, two thumbs down.
Dusty had his blinders on last night, I'll tell you. He was not,
I know Larry Boa ain't doing much. Like, he's on Comcast, WIP right. A ton. So, like, why can't we just bring Boa out for game two?
Yeah, it wasn't Dusty's best performance. But you know what? Sometimes talent takes over coaching inadequacies. And that's kind of what we saw when Bryce Harper steamrolled through the red light sign last night. No, I thought it was terrific. One of the things looking at this team all year, it's like, all right, the bats are going to get hot. They're just too talented not to be able to hit the baseball, slug the ball, baseball, and take it out of the park. The question was, I think the biggest question surrounding the Phillies' chances were, what type of pitching are they going to get in the postseason? How is the bullpen going to look? Are the starters going to be held up? And, the Zach Wheeler, him getting 4 years, $100 million, talk about stealing some money. He pitched excellent last night. Got ahead of hitters, had some really strikeouts. One of the biggest things is that crazy pitch, that is created is kind of swept through the league, so to speak. The old sweeper, man. It is a weird pitch, but it's almost, if it's thrown effectively, it is literally almost impossible to hit.
Yeah.
So seeing him throw that pitch effectively all night long, you knew he was going to be due for a great game. So that was great to see. I do like the fact, you look at our football team, right? The football team's 4-0. They're just finding ways to win, right? Different ways to win. I love the fact that, we didn't have to hit 25 home runs last night. We played some old-fashioned small ball, like you said. Got some singles, stole some bags, were aggressive on the base pads, and we found a way to get it done. It was nice to see Castellanos get, like, it was just great to see him get a couple hits because
the strikeouts and double plays are coming.
Well, right. And last night, the pitcher Lizardo, man, he throws that one pitch. I think it's a slider where it just gets buried into the dirt. And usually Castellanos is one of those guys. I can't even say now. It's just one of those guys that'll be chasing down and away.
Yeah.
And he had great bat discipline. And for him to get a couple hits and, puts the ring finger up. I just love how this team plays for one another. They play for one another. They play with their manager, and they have tremendous chemistry. And if anybody saw that hype video, man, that was one of the best hype videos ever turned out by any organization in the Philadelphia area. It was just fantastic.
I love the Canadian organization.
I was going to ask you later on how your organization's doing.
Well done.
But listen, I
agree. The first pitch strikes from Wheeler, huge. Set the tone. And I like, I like that last point about this team. I didn't get the sense at all last night that the moment was even close to too big. Whereas I think last year there was a little feeling out for this baseball team. you know, as far as how the postseason looks, what to expect, the crowd, all that stuff, the intensity, the environment, the magnitude of the stage.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that. And that gives me a lot of confidence should they fall behind tonight or in future games or whatever, you know, that that they won't be rattled by the situation.
Exactly. And just look at all the people that got some post. I mean, there were some team, some guys on the team that had some postseason experience, but there was a lot of newbies. I mean, between Boehm and Stott last year, and then I don't even think JT has ever played in a postseason, right? Until last year, maybe?
Yeah.
So just the experience alone of what they went through, what it takes to get it done. And you also have to love the fact that it's not like they fell into the postseason. You know, they were playing pretty well on a very consistent level. And then once they kind of had clinched up, they were able to get some much needed rest, which again, then puts the rotation in a good spot as far as getting this series started off.
Yeah.
You know, the
one thing that's crazy is that with such a short series, like literally in the blink of the eye, they could be eliminated. And it kind of, like today, listen to WIP, people were talking World Series and don't you remember that in October of last year, the Phils were up 2-1 and people were like planning the parade route and they never won another game. So I'm not taking anything for granted. I know the Phillies are a better team than the Marlins. I expect them to win. In fact, I expect them to pound the piss out of them tonight, if I'm being quite honest. I think, from behind, with the lead, whatever. Right. Like, I think they're going to hit the baseball tonight, score a lot of runs. However, we could be looking at a winner take all 24 hours from now. So I'm not putting the cart before the horse. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I did like the way they started. They need some pitching here tonight or the following night, because if it's not Nola tonight, you know, if it's a best of one, if it's a rubber match, winner take all, like, is it Sanchez starting? Is it Walker? Is it is it Ranger? You know, I think there's some question marks there. And then you give the Marlins some life. So I'd like to see him just take care of business tonight, be done with this thing. They caught a break that Sandy Alcantara's out for the year. Marlins are missing a couple of pitchers. By the way, what the hell happened to Mean Gene Segura? He get traded at some point? Did he get cut? Did he get waived?
No, like, where was he? No, they just cut him, and he was expected.
I feel like I remember them cutting him, and I wanted the Phils to bring him in because we're having some issues there with
They actually asked Rob Thompson about that, and he just thought maybe some team he would welcome him back if that was a move they were going to make. But there's really,
if you're the Marlins, why are you that much better without him? Like, that lineup doesn't scare me. I know they made the trade deadline acquisition. Yeah, Bell, by the way, is a Phillies killer. I hate that guy.
Oh, my God. There's just certain guys, right?
He feels like he always rakes us.
Yeah. No, he is. And they made some good moves at the deadline, getting Berger and Bell. And they looked for a couple bats. They found him. And you're right, man. Literally, I'm watching the game with Marissa, and I'm like, man, this guy just kills us, man. Yeah. I cannot stand this guy. Yeah.
Feels like everywhere he's been, he just hits Pirates, Nationals, Marlins, two doubles last night. But
I think we played him even early in the year when he was all Cleveland. I'm with you, man. The guy's a pain in the ass, period.
Let me ask you two things.
Sure.
Do the Phils wrap it up tonight? Yes or no?
I do, man. I think, listen, Rob Thompson showed extreme amount of confidence in Aaron Nola. I think his teammates show that.
Yep,
he knows. In the last couple starts, he's looked pretty good. It's just a matter of him, the best thing for us to do is for him to have a couple clean innings and for us to jump out to a lead.
Yeah,
because if we can jump out to an early lead, that'll just, and the thing for him too is not to be able to walk people. When a couple guys get on base, I feel like as much as the pitch clock has kind of really screwed with his head, I think next year, if he's with the Phillies or not, but I think he'll be a little more adjusted. But listen, he pitched extremely well last year in the postseason.
Yeah, let's hope early, at least. Yeah.
Right, early, right? And then, kudos to the crowd of Philadelphia and finally getting some national respect how great the fan base has been. Because I'm telling you, I was like, again, talking with Marissa last night, I was like, you know, last year was my first Phillies postseason game, and I've never experienced anything like it. It's like, it's totally different, man. It is a wild, electric. Everyone's standing the entire time. Like, I think Jeff Passan, he had a great comment when he said last night on ESPN. He's like, going to Citizens Bank Park is like attending an SEC football game. I mean, that's awesome. That is just tremendous praise and well-deserved by the fans of this great city.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so you got the Phils wrapping it up. Is Craig Kimbrell your closer the rest of the postseason, or is it game to game?
You know, I think it's game to game, Joe. I really think it's matchups. Another strange.
You want to talk about the crowd grumbling?
Oh man,
they were ready grumbling to turn and, so quick.
Oh, how about when he's balking? Because I guess couldn't hear in the comms set. He had to drop the ball, and he's
I think he thought Josh Bell was giving signals at second base. Which
he's also complained of that before.
And lastly, again, this might be a totally moot question 24, 48 hours from now. Sure. Is Rhys Hoskins playing the postseason for the Phillies?
Yes. He'll get one huge at bat.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
I think he comes up in a big spot and delivers. I just feel like remember the magic with the 17 Eagles? There was just something about it, some weird oddity, or somebody made a huge play that you never expected.
Corey Clement, never to be heard from again.
And you got to look at that Robinson play against the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship. That literally turned the entire game on its head.
Yeah.
After that play, it was over.
Yep.
I mean, it was wild.
All right. Phils, Marlins, game two. We'll see how it plays out. Hopefully next time we're on a podcast, we're not lamenting a brutal ending to this Philly season. Hopefully they're still playing some baseball.
Exactly. And we get to talk about that scumbag Spencer Strider from Atlanta.
Yeah, tight pants. God. Hate that guy. Hate the face. Hate the pants. Hate everything. No fans? Did you see that?
That really pissed me off, and I'm glad you just said it. I mean, here's
a
guy
that
comes
his ass up.
Oh, my God, I can't wait. He'd be scheduled. I mean, if things fly out their way, maybe game four in Citizens Bank Park, that would be. I mean, he will get lit like a Christmas tree, and I'll love every minute of it. The fact that he said that he wanted to take it back to the pandemic days of 2020. Let me tell you something. Millions of people don't want to take it back to the pandemic days. Yeah. That was awful. You had the cardboard cutouts in the stands.
Yeah,
you
want to
talk
call.
About a clown show, clown world? That guy's an absolute clown with his 70s porn stash. Can't stand him. Anyway.
All right, let's jump to the birds.
All right.
4-0, but John Mead, I'm not happy. I mean, every game I've been pretty much miserable. Even the Monday night game, you know, the day after, WIP's all positive. Everybody's like, dominant win. I'm like, was it really dominant, though? It felt like they let the Buccaneers hang around way longer than they should have. And look, I get it. You can't beat everybody by double digits in the NFL.
Right.
We got a little spoiler talking to Swollen Nolan the other day out in the Big Island. We got a little spoiled last year. The Birds beating the brakes off everybody. I get it. But, dude, I hate the stupid mistakes. I hate the sloppiness. The coach is on my, like, second-to-last nerve.
Yeah.
I mean, you were at the game Sunday. I'm sure you, you know, had a few of your favorite beverages. But, like, why is this team at 4-0 yet still so maddening and frustrating, dude? Like, why do I hate them so much?
Well, I mean, it's just weird, right? Again, now's the time, right? Now we're – we're in week five, okay? So the preseason's over.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, it's really time. Right now, I look at them. My analogy of the Eagles right now, they're like a can of Play-Doh right now, okay?
Yeah.
And they have to form and morph into something great. And right now, you're kind of, you know, molding it together, and it just doesn't look like anything yet. And then in the end, it's going to look like a perfect statue. Listen, there were some good things. I thought Jalen made some terrific throws. He finally made some great throws, some great catches. You could see that, okay, he's getting a little more comfortable with, you know, them throwing the football. But then it was like the defense. And again, as high as I was, like, or not high, but I mean, I was giving Sean Desai a little more credit.
Yeah,
they know that Sam Howell's going to get the ball out of his hands quickly, right? That's what. How do you negate a great pass rush like the Eagles have, right? You get the ball out quick. Mac Jones did that. Everyone get the ball out. Don't hold on to the ball. Well, then he wants to play the corners off 7 to 8 yards deep. I mean, that's just, I mean, at that rate, the receiver, I mean, the corner is at the mercy of the receiver when you give that much space. And it makes it very easy for a quarterback to feel comfortable. I just felt like defensively, the team was playing pretty well the first 3 weeks of the season. Last week, they didn't play that well. The line didn't generate the pressure that I thought it could, specifically since Buffalo, you know, came out with 9 sacks and 4 interceptions. We just, I don't know what it was. And then Eric Bieniemy, I mean, he had a great, listen, he was the offense coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he realized some things that could be, essentially the size defense was very similar to, as far as an ideology standpoint goes, with Jonathan Gannon, some of the same concepts. So yeah, it's frustrating right now. Because when are we going to hit that level when everybody is clicking on all cylinders? Again, it's so imperative for us to get out to handle business this weekend against the Rams, go beat the brakes off the Jets in the Meadowlands, and then we get the Miami Dolphins at home, and then that's when the schedule turns into,
right,
you know, the Great Wall of China, as far as we're going to have a huge mountain to climb. And you hope by, you know, working out the Kings, kind of, you know, again – you know, they pass the ball a lot, but they kind of abandoned their running game. They're still just trying to find a great balance, and hopefully things improve. So, yeah. So I'm with you. It's frustrating as hell. It's special teams, though. I will say this. I thought special teams was a bit of a disaster, you know, towards the end of the season. Obviously, Jake Elliott, he's going to go down as one of the best, you know, kickers in franchise history. He's absolute money. I saw, you know, a stat comparison with him and Justin Tucker over the last 5 years. It's pretty remarkable, like, how well he squares up.
Well, Justin Tucker gets all the love.
Right. You know. I mean, Jake Elliott, if you look at the numbers.
Yeah, I'm with
clutch
you.
Field goals and over 50 yarders and this and that and extra points. And,
dude, he had one year where he was pissing me off. He missed a bunch of extra points and shorter kicks, and I was done with him. I was done with him. The last couple of years, he has resounded back in all-pro form, and he's a weapon, quite frankly. The kickoffs, just keep putting him out of the end zone and make your damn field goals, and we're all good, dude. I'm not looking for anything else out of the damn kicker. I don't need you making tackles. I don't need any style points. You don't have to go headbutt a wall or you know, celebrate, tear your ACL. Just kick the damn ball and stay out of the way.
That's it. Now, the punter on this squad is still a mystery, you know. Listen, I'm all about drafting the best punter in college football next year. I don't care what round it lies in. But we really got to shore up that position.
Yeah, we're complaining about the punter, and we're complaining about the third base coach of our baseball team. So,
it can't be all that big.
What's your question for me? What do you got?
My big question is this, and this has kind of been a talking point, but just talking with other friends, as far as what did you feel like? Do you think it was right for Jalen to take a shot, get that touchdown to A.J. Brown?
The dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
You want to know why? Because I watched the freaking Super Bowl. And what happened in the freaking Super Bowl? After the Bradbury penalty, what did the Chiefs do? They scored a touchdown?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They literally just made us use our timeouts. They ran the goddamn clock down, and they said, Harrison Butker, here's a layup. If he misses it, whatever. Yeah. You know, Jake Elliott misses that kick, you're going to overtime. But you literally could have forced them to use their last timeout, run the ball twice, and you kick the field goal. And the game's over. And if it's not over, at least you're going overtime, which you end up going overtime anyway. And all those extra plays – like, somebody could have gotten hurt. Obviously, the Commanders should have probably gone for two. I was, scared they were going to.
Oh, believe me. So was everybody. So was 70,000 people in this stadium. Because, they're a team that's got none to lose. They're a 9-point underdog. Yeah.
Arrogant coaching decision. Now, listened to today, I think Jalen changed the play at the line of scrimmage. So, to me, that's it. Yeah, I heard that. He also, to your point, was talking about the defense. Like, if you're going to play that type of defense, you can't have your corners playing soft. So I'm with you there.
Right.
But to me, that was, if that's the case, that's a Jalen trying to give AJ a little backhand toe drag. You know what I mean? He's trying to give him a little love.
That's it. I know.
One-on-one, maybe I can throw him a cookie here. We don't need that, dude. And especially since Hurts is all about winning, the best chance to win that game was to do it the way that conventional wisdom said to do it, which is you drove down here, now you just painfully burn this clock down, and you send out your kicker. Steady's got to hit a 55-yarder after a penalty. Like, you put pressure on the defense. Twice the defense had to come out on the field. More snaps for that offensive line. Like, I just don't get it. And I also don't get why they didn't come out and try to run the ball more. But you know what? What the hell do I know? I mean, it just drives me crazy. So they came out with a game plan to throw. And when they do that, he's dropping back. He's in shotgun 45 times. And that's the way it's going to be. So painful. I got two things for you on the birch real quick. These are real quick.
I'm sure.
One, Derek Barnett sucks.
Oh, God. Can we just trade him for a sack?
I'm pretty sure that was in my notepad from the Vikings game. I don't think I've seen him since on the field, but he sucks. And number two, thank God, and I'm sorry to say this, but thank God Kenny Gainwell got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he get hurt at the end of last game?
No. I mean,
to start the season. Yeah. I mean, how Swift didn't get any run in game one is another mystery.
All right. Coaches need to look in the mirror. But again, they're sorting it out. It's still early.
Right.
All right. Give me a Rams prediction. Any slip up at all?
Will
this team be 6-0 as they host the Dolphins?
I believe so. I really think so. Yeah. I'll take
5-1 though. I mean, when we looked at the schedule to start, we talked about getting the 5-0, and then you thought you're playing Rodgers and the Jets, whatever.
Right.
So 5-1 through six games I can live with.
Yeah. No, I think, like I said, you just want to see improvement each week, right? That's the biggest thing. And for God's sakes, man, can we get Dallas Goedert involved? I see all these tight ends running freaking seam routes.
Well,
right?
I think he was blocking a lot early. In the season, not in the game in this past week. I'm just saying in general. So I get that. Like, you look at Kelsey the other night, he wasn't as impactful. I'm thinking he was in there blocking the hell out of that Jets line, which is, you know, they can make you pay. But I'm with you, dude. To have two catches a game, three catches a game, two targets,
dude,
one target.
Dude, he's got like 88 yards on the season.
Don't even get me started, dude.
I know.
You're like my elixir for the Stone Harbor Poo Nuggets fantasy football. Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime I need a win, just bring on John Meter.
Dude, I
was winless, and I just absolutely beat you up and down the street.
Although I'm not winless in all my leagues. The league, in the Yahoo league that I got a D-plus grade for, by the way, okay? The backdoor bandits are 4-0, so suck it, Yahoo.
Well, I got an A grade from Yahoo, and I'm 1-3 in a Yahoo league. Right. So what the hell do those grades mean? All right, I got an on-the-fly for you, and I understand you probably don't have one for me because I didn't have you prepare for one.
Yeah, I'll give
one.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
49ers, Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect from Brock Purdy? Because to me, this is it. This is it for me. Yeah. Like, you know, I've been on the hater train. I've been swearing that this guy stinks.
That's a Sunday night game this week.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a goodie.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like the hater bowl, you know?
We could just root for
like terrible play, destruction, a tie.
I think we
the two quarterbacks we absolutely hate.
Yeah. It's a hater game. Yeah, I'm with you. Listen, we'll see if he can come up in a big spot. Now that game's in Dallas, correct?
I'm not sure. San Fran? But imagine this, John Mater. So the answer to the on the fly is, do you expect two picks from Brock Purdy?
Two picks, man. Okay. The Dallas' defense is
who wins
good.
The game?
Oof. You know, I'm going to go with that's a great question because Dallas, San Francisco has played it.
Come on.
I'll say San Francisco wins by a game winner by their rookie kicker, Moody, in
All
the
right.
end.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, nothing more pathetic than the Rays fans, 19,000 in the stadium. They're getting beat 7-0 today in game two of their series. I don't even, there might be six people at the game.
I mean, is that
What a
just a
joke.
franchise that just needs to move somewhere?
The game
I mean,
is in San Fran, by the way. Niners are favored by 4.
Oof, okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got for you.
I like it. All right. Who is my on the fly for you? Who is going to be the MVP of tonight's game? I feel like Wheeler was the MVP last night.
Oh, I like
because he gave you 7 1/3 innings. So who's going to be the guy tonight? Who's your guy?
The guy tonight that's going to be the MVP.
Yeah, of the night
is Bryson Stott.
Okay, I
Stott's
like it.
Going. Stott's going yard.
Stotter.
He's going to be
I
on
base it.
3 times.
Okay.
A walk, right. 2 knocks, including a ding dong. And the Phils win 6-2. Right.
So it sounds like you got the over on total bases for Stott tonight. Okay.
Bong,
I like
bong.
It.
Bong.
All
bong.
Right.
All right, brother.
All
good
right.
Stuff. Everybody, thanks for tuning in.
You got
buzz
it.
Through this one. Little hectic, little helter skelter, but we got it done. Hopefully, you enjoy it. Hopefully, our predictions are correct.
Right.
And hopefully, by the next time we do a podcast, it's not doom and gloom for our baseball
exactly.
and football
and
teams.
As Garrett Stubbs says, if you don't like to get the – I'm just kidding. We can't
oh,
say
love
that
it.
On the air.
I
yeah,
love it.
that
You
was
say
just
whatever you want.
Vintage, baby, vintage.
Johnny Mead, enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy
All
Sunday.
Right.
And what will you be – I guess the next game you're at's the Sunday nighter, right, Dolphins?
That's it. That's it, man. We got a little hiatus here. It'll be a great time to go play some golf on the weekend if possible.
All right. So. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Brother Love Podcast for John Mader, Joe O'Donnell. Go Phils, go Birds. Ring the bell. Fly, Eagles, fly. Until next time, we'll see.